Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, John Hansen in for Dane Neal. On the road with Dane Neal as me today for 2 to 4. Thank you for joining us here on 720 WGN, and a happy Saturday to you out there. Man, it is as bright as can be in the WGN studios. This is going to be hard to explain, but the light's coming in so strongly on Michigan Avenue, and it's cascading itself, the light, the sunlight, all over the board in front of me, and I can't tell which buttons are on or off. It is so bright. You can't even see which buttons are illuminated. So if at any point I talk to someone, you don't hear them, it's because I think they're on and they're not, and I'll try and fix it quickly. And helping me with all that will be Camille Suknovich. Camille, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
You chilly out there?
Good. It's so cold.
I know. No, and I think that this winter, I was talking with Amy Guth about this a little bit. You know, it was an okay December. I mean, it was pretty mild until we got towards the end of it. And, you know, we're hardy Chicagoans, right? We've done this so many years. We've lived in the area. Have you lived in the area your whole life, Camille?
Oh, yeah. Whole life.
So you're used to it, right? Not a big deal. But there's something about, and Bob was mentioning this in the news report. I don't know if you mentioned this one, but the last one, Bob. What, it's been since 1936 that we've had this many days in a row.
That's right. We are in the teens.
In the teens.
12 days.
And I think that that is a little different. Even when we had the polar vortices a few years ago where they'd dive in and we'd be at minus 20, minus 30, you know, we'd get 30 or 40 degrees a couple days there in between to at least reset the system, I guess. And that hasn't happened. And it's really, I don't know, maybe it's just me. This stretch has really bummed me out with how it is. Camille, you feel the same way?
And I mean, of course, the days it's cold, I'm commuting down here and waiting for buses.
Oh,
I'm not at home.
Yeah, that's not easy. And I shouldn't complain then. I get to drive in and it's nice and toasty. And I try and park somewhere near my apartment in the Ukrainian village, but I had to park a block and a half away yesterday, and I think I made about 19 more concentric circles trying to find a closer spot just to do it. Bob, are you hardy? Are you okay with this really cold stuff?
I'm about ready to be done with it.
Right.
The thing is, so you have, you know, like a fleece jacket and then an outer shell and a scarf and a hat. Actually, I wear a hat and a headband, two pairs of gloves, two pairs of socks. You know, it takes a while to get that stuff on, and then, oh, wait, do I have my phone? Where's my phone? Where are my keys? Where are my glasses? You know, it's my money.
Right.
You know, so it takes me a long time to get out of the house.
Yes. And then if the keys, you got your gloves on, and if you have two layers of gloves like I've been doing, you got to dig for your keys. You can't get in your pants to find your keys, your tight jean pockets. And anytime you have to describe what you're wearing as a shell, that's when you know that it is definitely cold out there. So 312-917-200. So when I heard I was filling in for Dane, I was like, you know, the thing that I want to talk about most is just getting the heck out of Chicago. I love this city. I love living here, and I'm fine with the seasons. I love the seasons. I like that we have warm and cold and kind of in between for a week or two there, but I want to get away. And obviously, I want to do it as cheaply as I can. So Gabe Saglier from TravelZoo is going to be coming in, chatting on the phone. He's actually stuck in New York. He travels all over the place. He's stuck there because of the big storm they had out there. So let us know where you want to go. 312-917-200. And Gabe is a travel expert, so he's got a couple recommendations for us on where we can go warm on the cheap, maybe in March or April. Maybe it's just fun to think ahead. And a couple places in the United States too that are nice and warm, and he's got some good deals for us, so you don't want to miss that. That's going to be at 2:30, but I want to hear from you guys, and so does he. So if you have any questions about traveling, maybe you're between two places, maybe you need some inspiration, Gabe is awesome and he will answer those questions for you. So I'd love for you to chime in. 312-981-7200. I wanted to start the show by talking about, and Gabe kind of inspired me in hearing and seeing on Facebook all my friends that maybe live on the East Coast that are stuck or they were traveling, can't get anywhere, about travel disasters, and disasters in quotes, of course. Stories that you have of when you've been stuck in an airport. Have any of you ever slept overnight in an airport? Have you ever had to do the thing where you see on the news where they have all the cots out there? Have you ever spent a night at an airport? 312-981-7200. And I've been really lucky in my travels over the years. I've had canceled flights. I think we've all had those, or really long delays. I can remember waiting at LaGuardia for 10 and a half hours once before finally getting out at 1:30 in the morning.
That's not a fun airport to be stuck in.
No,
either.
It is horrible. It's like going straight back to 1968, which for some people, they must love that. But in an airport is not a great place for it. But, you know, we made it out. We got home. And it always seems like the worst thing in the world while you're doing it. But when you're done the next day, you're like, whatever. Have you ever been stuck in an airport overnight or anything like that?
Not overnight, but I'm trying to think. Oh, I was able to go to Los Angeles last year, mm-hmm. and I was flying out of Indianapolis, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get there in time to watch a Cubs playoff game, 2016, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, and my flight got so delayed, I missed the whole game.
Oh, no.
They won.
They did win, okay.
Yeah, I was asking for updates in the air.
Do you remember which game it was?
It must Giants.
Have been. Okay, it's the Giants. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Bob, have you ever been stuck in an airport overnight?
Overnight, no. Okay. A few hours here and there. I had some luggage get delayed.
Yeah.
It's
standard stuff.
That was probably 10 years ago, too. So, yeah, I've been pretty lucky with the whole travel thing.
And that's the thing is that there's inconveniences and they seem like the worst thing in the moment, but then the day or two later, you're fine. I'm talking about stories that maybe have stuck with you,
horror stories.
Horror stories. And I've got a horror story in a sense, and the story I'm going to tell after the break. It happened a year ago today, so I hadn't really remembered it, and it came up on my Facebook memories, and then I was like, oh, I do remember this one. And it's a terrible travel story that actually all of you out there probably remember. And I was part of it, sort of, and so was my brother, and it happened a year ago today. I want to talk about that and how that kind of affected the way I travel, but I want you to join the conversation. 312-981-7200. Have you ever been stuck at an airport overnight? Have you ever been stuck for more than a day? Had to go back and forth to the hotel? You think you're going to fly out? You're not able to fly out? Bags you've never seen again? Connections through airports that are closed? Stuff like that. I know people have that out there. We want to get that all out of the way before we talk about where you can travel with Gabe Saclier. All right, so my travel horror story and plenty of yours coming up on 720. WGN, John Hansen in for Dane Neal. We're talking on the road stuff, traveling, and man, a lot of people stuck on the East Coast still, stuck in airports, spent a night or two in airports in some cases as that powerful storm, the cyclone, made its way up the eastern seaboard and left a lot of snow, ice, rain. I saw some crazy images. I don't know if you saw this, the image of I think it was in Boston or somewhere in Massachusetts, a river overflowed, flooded onto the streets, and then froze.
I did not see that.
Cars were stuck in just inches and feet of frozen water that had gone through the area. So obviously very terrible for travel conditions, and I know a lot of people were stuck in them, and one of those folks is going to join us, a travel expert stuck in New York due to the storm. Gabe Saclier from TravelZoo is going to come on. So call in and get those questions in you might have for Gabe. Are you thinking about getting away? Is this Chicago cold spell just really freezing you in and you really want to get out? 312-981-7200. Talk or text, would love to hear from you. And we'd love to hear your travel disaster stories. There are always some fun ones, and hopefully you come out of them and you're a better person and you realize it wasn't so bad, but in the moment it just seems terrible. And we're not just looking for that your plane was delayed for 2 hours. I think everyone has that happen at least once a year if you're a frequent traveler. But if you've had a really bad experience, the LaGuardia one was interesting. We were coming, obviously, back from New York, and there was some weather in the area, and our flight from the plane that was coming to New York that would eventually take us would just not leave, and you're staring at it on your apps. And now we have all the information at our fingertips, so you're just looking. I hit refresh like 50 times, just like, when is that plane leaving? When's that plane leaving? At one point, and I was traveling with someone, I was like, well, forget this. I'm going to go to bed. Let's just go to I don't want to get out of this airport. I'm going to book a hotel and we'll just try again tomorrow. So I had changed flights, but then I wasn't able to change both of our flights. So then we were on different flights and I begged to get back on the original flight when I found out that it was going to leave and they were saying no, but eventually it all worked out and we left around 1:30. And the funny thing about that, Camille, is there is a curfew for when flights can leave LaGuardia. They can't just leave all night. They have to ask for permission and they don't like to do that. Maybe they have to pay extra money. So I think the curfew was 1:15 in the morning. Our plane got to the gate at about 12:45 and they were rushing those passengers off. And then by then, so many people had left our flight. There was only like 40 of us on the flight. And they were like, hurry, hurry, get on, get on, get on, get on, get on. They were rushing us on. They sat us all down really quickly. They're like, we got to back out because if we don't push back at 1:15, we are not going home. So everyone's like, all right, good, 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 good. And then we all sit down and then they say, the plane isn't balanced. We need more people in the back. There's some weight restrictions about it. So we were all in the front because we all rushed on and it was Southwest. So we all picked the seats really close. So then they're like, who will go to the back? So then all of us run to the back. But then too many of us went to the back. So anyways, it all worked
out. It's
like
a sitcom.
It was. It was very Seinfeld-esque of trying to balance this plane. And eventually it all worked out. We flew home. It's a quick flight home. Luckily, I had the next day off. I work over at CIU-TV on the Jam, the morning show. And, you know, we get there at like 3 or 4 in the morning. But luckily, I was off that day, which was wonderful. But that, again, that was something that in the moment, it was chaotic. It was horrible. But it all worked out. 312-917-200 if you have a similar story. So that wasn't the story that I teased, obviously. This story that I remembered, and of course, remember vividly, happened 1 year ago today. My brother and his wife and myself, we were going on a cruise. And so we left out of Florida. We were so excited for this Royal Caribbean cruise. We've been looking forward to it for, over a year. And my brother and his girlfriend, they flew out. They took the first flight out in the morning, which is always what you should do. Take that first flight out. We were leaving the day before the cruise, so we had some time to play with. So I decided to work that morning. And instead, this was a Friday, I believe, and take the later flight out in the early afternoon. So my brother and his wife, they take the flight out in the morning, and they're flying down to Fort Lauderdale. So they get, they're on the early flight, and I get a text from my brother. By now, we're at Midway. We're ready to go on our flight, sitting in the restaurant. And my brother said, I just left the airport. All good. We're going over to the hotel. We'll see you in a few hours. And we're sitting there at the restaurant when all of a sudden I see on Twitter something about a shooting at Fort Lauderdale Airport. And, at first you hear these things, you don't know how severe it is, and you just saw it on Twitter, which is an alert. Maybe it's someone had a gun, fired a gun somewhere. Maybe it's not in the airport proper. Maybe it's nearby. You don't really know. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're supposed to be going down there, but all is fine. And then all of a sudden we're sitting ready to board the plane, and this is the eeriest thing. And all of a sudden CNN breaks in, and there's the airport we're going to being evacuated. And of course, in that moment, you're thinking, well, this is a headache, of course, but your thoughts immediately go to what has really happened. And what's revealed, of course, later on is that 5 people were shot and killed. More than 5 people were shot. 5 people died. 6 others were injured in the shooting. 36 people sustained some sort of ensuing injuries in the panic of it all. And we're sitting at O'Hare, or excuse me, at Midway, and they boarded the plane. They're like, all right, yeah, well, we're going to go down there. And of course, you're thinking, there's no way, there's no way they're going to let us into Fort Lauderdale today as this shooting has just happened. So we're sitting on the plane, and it's an eerie thing when the pilot comes on. He says, well, there's been a mass shooting at the airport, and there's reports of a second shooter in the chaos of the moment. And I was just so thankful at that moment that my brother had texted me that they left the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wasn't minutes before. I think he said he was on his cab to the hotel when he saw the first responders, saw just a stream of first responders going to the airport. So the first thing I did is I knew who's going to worry most about that situation. 2 of family members there. I text my mom. I was like, by the way, just so you know, because you're going to hear about this, Drew is safe and I'm not down to Fort Lauderdale yet. And I remember we actually had a guy called into Bill and Wendy because they were looking for stories of people that were kind of stuck and inconvenienced, very in quotes, by the situation. So we board the plane. We're all on the plane. And it's just a very strange thing. Everyone's kind of calling loved ones. Some people are going down to see family members that live in Florida that may be flying out. So everyone's got this strange tension. And at the time, we didn't know of any deaths. And we're just sitting on this plane for an hour, 2 hours. And everyone, of course, in these days, checking Twitter. Southwest was great. They said, if you want to get off the plane, you can obviously leave the airport if you'd like, but you can't change tickets yet. But if you want to stretch around, feel free to walk out. We'll just bring your boarding pass with you. So I go out because I just want to stretch my legs. I plug in my phone and I start to hear some of the airport people talking. And I talk to one of the baggage guys and he says, look, you're not getting to Fort Lauderdale today. And everyone's going to be changing flights. I mean, it's high cruise season here. The start of January, a Friday flight down there. So, but you can't change tickets until your flight has been officially canceled. And we had already boarded and checked in. Luckily, we were off the plane. Brett had come off the plane too. And then when they decided to go ahead and cancel it, then I was right there in line and we changed our flight to Orlando. booked a car, drove through the night. It all worked out, but it was just a really freaky situation to be not just myself, but my younger brother. And we weren't there when it happened. And there's so many more people that are way more traumatized by the situation and deservedly so when they were obviously there and it's much more impactful. But it was a little strange. I don't think that it wasn't like my life flashed before my eyes, but it was a moment where it's like, man, if I had taken the flight two before, I would have been in that terminal getting your bags when that sort of thing happens. And it kind of just makes you take stock of the luck in your life that you have, I guess you could say, or just the idea that as much as we want to be prepared for terrorism or have a plan if there is an active shooting situation, it's just dumb luck sometimes.
That timing.
It's all about the timing. It's just amazing that both me and my brother were flying down the same day to this airport, same baggage claim in Terminal 2, where they're going and it missed both of us, thankfully, luckily. The suspect was taken into custody after surrendering to responding officers. My travel headache with this, obviously, is the lowest thing on the totem pole, but that was probably the most hectic travel day because, of course, you immediately think of these poor families, and at the end of the day, even if we miss our cruise, whatever, we are alive. But then you start thinking about that, and you start wondering, oh, God, I got this headache of trying to change these flights. So that was my thing, and I got to give credit to Southwest Airlines. I fly with them all the time, and this is not sponsored in any stretch of the imagination, and everyone has their own gripes, and I'm sure people have horror stories about Southwest. Every airline has them. But they've always been great about helping me change flights, and they're really flexible with changing flights. So that is my quote-unquote horror story. I mean, you mentioned something that happened to you in 2002, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was young. So I was maybe 7.
You were 7 in 2002?
Yeah, I think I was 7 in 2002. And so my mom tells a story because I feel like I've had good traveling experiences by myself. But if we fly with my family, something always happens.
Something's a little awry.
Something always happens. So, you know, it was right after 9/11 and we were still young, so we didn't quite understand what had happened, and I'm the oldest, so my sister was 5 and my brother was 1.
Okay.
And my mom goes, okay, like, we're gonna go to the airport.
So 3 young kids
and just her. My dad was already back in Chicago.
Oh, poor thing.
So she just had us, and she goes, okay, like, you know, you can't talk about these things at the airport. She's like, don't, you know, you can't talk about guns, you can't talk about weapons. Not that we would, but I think she was just nervous.
Yes. And especially right after 9/11.
Exactly. And we're checking our bags in, and my sister says to the clerk at the counter, my mom told me not to talk about the guns.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And that's not them saying, we don't have guns. He's saying not to talk about the guns.
Yes.
Oh,
so
no.
My mom I can only imagine what she went through now, but we all had to be searched. All of our luggage they had to search my infant brother. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was like, because that was right at the peak of everyone being, you know, still being really nervous and affected by 9/11. And yeah, so we won't let her live that one down.
Yeah.
She's 20 now, but.
And nor should you. But you they've got to do that even nowadays. And I'm sure if she had said it in the 90s, it's the same thing. But especially after 9/11, we're not supposed to talk about the guns. Yeah, I mean, you got to do that. You know, I had a situation. I was flying. I was really lucky this year. I got to travel to Iceland in August, which was really cool.
Oh, that is cool.
So we're at O'Hare. We're checking in. And there was someone behind me that said to their travel companion, are you sure you want to go through with this? Those were the words, like right at security. So, of course,
that's unsettling.
It is, but like, I'm sure it's like, are you sure you want to go through with, I don't know, are you nervous about the flight? Are you sure you want to go through with having this burrito before you get on board? You know, like, it's of course, probably nothing. And I was traveling with my roommate, Dana, and I ended up not saying anything. And it kind of ate at me the entire flight.
Yeah.
Because I was like, boy, God, I hope I don't land in Iceland. Well, first of all, I hope I land in Iceland. Something happened on my flight. And I hope, and that's the other selfish thing. If that person had been on my flight, I might have said something. Because she had like a really pink dyed hair. So I was like, I'll recognize her. Yeah. And that's so selfish of me. But I was so worried about like making a big stink out of it. And they have to evacuate the terminal and no one gets to go where they get to go.
Well, it's funny that you're saying this. Because outside on Michigan Avenue, outside the Showcase Studio, you can see a sign down the road that says, if you see something, say something.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I know.
Should I have said something? Are you sure you want to go through with this? I, you know, that was
that's
such
hard.
That's right on that border. And she seemed really nervous. So I was like, oh gosh, that's crazy. So 312-917-200, did I do the right thing? What is that line where you see something, say something? I think we struggle with that, you know, when we see maybe a backpack. At the airport, we're all very cognizant. If you see luggage just sitting somewhere, please say something, and you're not supposed to leave bags unattended. Should be the same thing on the L, traveling around too. But do you have the guts to actually do it, or do you just worry that you're just going to inconvenience someone? But imagine if something had happened, like if something happened on a flight to London or somewhere else. God, I would have, like when I landed, I was like checking news sites because I was like, please nothing have blown up. Please nothing have gone crazy. Something like that. So I probably should have said something. I think that's ultimately
I've been
what
on
I think.
A metro train that they had to stop to like check a bag that was just left.
And in the moment, you're like, oh, come on. But later on, it's like, well, thank God they did that, right? They're just being safe. So 312-917-200, love to get any of your stories of travel nightmares or if I should have said something. Maybe there's a TSA agent out there that's driving home that's like, yeah, John, that would have been nice for you to say. So let me know, 312-917-200, 720 WGN. Okay, so Gabe Saglier from Travelzoo is going to join us in just a little bit, talking about ways to get away for fairly cheap if you can, maybe to the Caribbean, and there's a couple destinations he's picked out, including one here in the United States. And I'm looking at like March, April. I know it'd be great to get away right now, but I imagine last-minute stuff is hard for you out there. It's hard for me to get away quickly. But isn't it fun just to think of warm places? That's kind of where I'm thinking at. So we're going to talk with Gabe in a little bit. Also, Blake Stubbs is going to join us. Blake is, he comes out with Dane a lot, and he's going to join us at 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about the Golden Globes, which I believe are tomorrow. I am not a movie buff or an awards person in the slightest, but Blake is. He'll break down some of that stuff, and he'll also talk to us about movies that you can kind of sip whiskey and enjoy and just kind of sit there and enjoy a nice movie with a glass of whiskey. So really quickly, before we get to news, Bob, I just wanted to ask, Becky is joining us. Becky, you had an unattended bag flying out of New York City. What did you do?
Well, I was going in through security. It was fairly crowded, you know, flying back. My daughter lives in New York, so we'd go in and out of LaGuardia fairly often. And as we first made it into the area where we had to do, you know, in and out and around the lines before you go through the metal detectors and they check your bag, from the second we entered that area, the benches where after you go through that you sit and put your shoes on and everything, and I see a duffel bag that's, you know, like 2 feet by, you know, 3 feet, and it's just sitting under one of the benches, and the entire time we're circling to the right and back to the line,
right,
and I just keep glancing over, and there's security all over the place, there's people all over the place, and I'm like, does nobody else see this?
Right.
Like duffel bag, which, you know.
So, Becky, I got to go to news here really quickly, but did you end up saying something or no?
Oh, I kind of, as before I went to the security desk, I just kind of went, you know, I don't mean to be pointing fingers.
Right.
That black duffel bag's been sitting there for 10 minutes. They all turned around. They went running. They grabbed it. They ran it out of the room.
Oh, wow.
You know, but I was just kind of like, I don't mean to be
No,
and out, but that's kind of bad, isn't
with a,
it?
Yeah, it is. And Becky, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. I think in that scenario with a bag there, that's definitely the right thing to do, and I'm sure TSA appreciated that. And I did get a text from a TSA supervisor, retired Dave. He says, yes, John, it would have been nice for you to say, so I should have done something. I'm getting some guilt already. All right, Gabe Saglier coming up in just a little bit, but... 720 WGN, John Hanson in for Dane Neal. Camille, does Dane ever take selfies during the news breaks?
No, I haven't seen
people were making a lot of fun of me. They were, because I was taking a selfie of my of myself. I guess that's what a selfie would be. Obviously, Dane's not here today. John Hanson filling in on the road with Dane Neal. And we're talking about getting the heck out of Chicago. Man, this is, you just heard Bob talk about the temperature. It's been since 1936. We've had this many days in a row below 20 degrees, and we're certainly going to tie that record today. And despite the warm-up tomorrow, it might come with some sleet and snow and all that mess. So we figured, let's think about warmer weather. Let's think about getting out of this place. And there's no person I can think of better to talk to than Gabe Saglier, the senior editor at Travelzoo. Gabe, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, Jonathan, how I wish I was, you know, right there with you on perhaps the balmy shores of Maui, where it's, I think it's 75 degrees right now.
Stop, Gabe, stop.
On the shores of Wailea. Oh, yeah.
Where are you? Because you got stuck in the whole mess, right?
I'm in New York City, so I'm not much better than you are. I'm in, it's about 11 degrees outside my window. I was supposed to leave New York City on Thursday back to Southern California, and would you know it, they canceled all of those flights.
Well, you were supposed to leave Thursday?
Thursday. And the next available flight, And I'm traveling with my family, so there's five of us. The next available flight for us is Monday. So Thursday we thought we were coming home. Now we're here through Monday. Now, it's a beautiful place to be stuck, but I got to tell you, when this happens, when storms roll through, when airlines cancel flights, when it's the act of Mother Nature, these airlines, they're not responsible for any compensation whatsoever. So All of a sudden, you know, a family of five is, or anybody, I mean, is basically now having the budget for an extra 5 days in New York City. Some folks are here are stuck through Tuesday, you know, 5,000 plus canceled flights in just the last 2 days. So it's a mess and it's cold.
I'm sure the hotels are loving it, though.
The hotel, it's like, you know, record load factors for the hotels.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we were scrambling there at JFK to figure out where we would be staying that night, I got lucky that I did find one hotel that had to switch to another hotel yesterday. But it's kind of, that's the thing. You're sort of fending for yourself. Most people don't buy travel insurance when they're just kind of, you know, taking a flight to New York City for a few days for the holidays. That would help, certainly. Otherwise, you really, when it's weather-related, you're fending for yourself, and you just got to be ready to just sort of play the game for an extra few days.
Well, Gabe, I think that kind of transitions nicely into talking about getting out of Chicago, and even if you're traveling in March, you know the weather here in Chicago can be dicey.
Yeah.
So I guess that while you're planning all this stuff, it's important to keep in the back of your head that weather may kind of mess around with everything you've got planned.
Well, no doubt about it. And so I think as people are now ready to sort of head to a much balmier destination, that's sort of the name of the game here for the next couple of months until we get to spring break. I think the whole concept of travel insurance makes sense. If you've never done travel insurance, it's usually about an extra 7 to 9% of your trip cost. And so if you spend, say, $1,000 on a trip, it's going to be another, you know, $60, $70, $90 for basic travel insurance. But that does help in the case of like these canceled flights due to weather, with some of the food costs, some of the hotel costs, transportation that are incurred when flights are canceled. That said, the Caribbean, places domestically like Florida, like these deserts of the Southwest, this is now the very onset of peak travel season for them. So they're going to be seeing the best foot traffic, the highest rates of the year between now and mid to late March. This is where everybody wants to go.
Yeah.
Temperatures need to drop elsewhere.
One hint that you have, you say, is to stay kind of flexible with where you want to go. See, and I think that's where I am at. I'm like, I just want to go somewhere warm. I don't care if it's an island. I just hope it's near a beach and it's warm. And you say that that's probably a better way to do it than saying, I want to go to Aruba or I want to go to a specific place.
Yeah. Now, flexibility is always, rule number one. And I think when it comes to this time of year, if you just want a sunny destination, then the more open you are to your travel dates and to your destination, the better the odds you'll snag a deal. And it also means that you're looking at places where there's just a lot of volume on the ground. In other words, if you're looking for this really exotic, off-the-beaten-path island with maybe two luxury resorts, you're going to be paying for that experience.
Right.
But if you're looking at the Bahamas, if you're looking at Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, where you just have naturally a large number of resorts competing for U.S. travel dollars, that's where the better deals are going to happen. These are also destinations with more of what we call airlift, you know, more flights daily to these destinations. That's going to help you out. So if you're open to anywhere sunny, John, then the better the odds that you'll snag a pretty good deal. But now keep in mind, on the flip side of that, this is still peak travel season, peak travel time for these balmy destinations. So it may not be the cheapest trip you ever take, but it could very well be the nicest.
So what do you think about kind of bundling things together, options and packaging things together? Is it effective?
Great idea. You know, packages are always the way to go if you want to try to save some money, because what happens is these travel companies will buy things up in bulk. They'll buy airline seats. I mean, they know, you know, they knew last year that, hey, you know, January will probably be a cold, stormy month. So they're way ahead of time buying up airline seats, hotel rooms. In fact, the more you add onto a package, meals, tours, excursions. I mean, the more you add onto a package, if these companies have bought these experiences and these elements in bulk, the better the odds that you will get the savings passed on to you. I always say you find a good package, and this is what we do at Travelzoo. We'll see a good package. We'll still compare, the travel and sort of piece it together ourselves. so we can actually effectively, with a very, you know, concrete number, say, listen, if you were to buy the airfare and hotel and the meals and this jungle excursion separately, you'd be paying, you know, another, an extra $300.
Yeah.
I always say compare the two, but most often, if you're dealing with a really good vacation company, vacation packager, you will see savings. Now, that said, always think of the vacation package as the threshold to your vacation. You're not stuck with exactly what you see in black and white, or what you see in print. You can always, a good company will help you maybe upgrade your hotel, maybe splurge on the ocean view versus the garden view room, tack things onto the package to make them more tailored to the kind of experience you want.
That's interesting. And I think that's why sometimes I don't do the packaging, because I'm worried that you're locked into something. And also the other reason is you're paying maybe a little bit more up front and you think, no, I'll be able to save my way through the vacation. Then you come home, look at everything you spent, and you're like, man, I should have just done the darn package.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you always want to certainly research. The biggest thing is the resort, because if you're going to go to one of these sort of all-inclusives in the Caribbean, you want to make sure you're staying in the kind of resort that appeals to you. If that's a resort that caters mostly to adventure, you know, jungle people, and you just want to basically lay on the beach and,
right,
and sip a cocktail at 7 a.m., maybe that's not the resort for you. You want to make, you know, the food that they serve there, it may be 24-hour, all-you-can-eat, 7 restaurants, but if it's not the kind of food you like, and you're like you've got a particular, you know, sort of a finicky palate, maybe you want to look at the resort next door that really is more focused on cuisine and less on some of the other experiences that these resorts have to offer. So you want to research your resort. But again, the good vacation packagers will throw out a package, and then we'll allow you, once you start digging in, or you call them up, or you play with their website, to tweak different elements of it, so that at the end of the day, you are crafting the kind of experience that you really, really want, and you won't regret once you've landed. Once you've landed there.
Well, Gabe, you mentioned drinking at 7 a.m., and I told you I wanted you to talk directly about what vacation I should do, and you nailed it. That's exactly what I'm looking at—a cocktail on a beach.
Well, I know my audience.
Exactly. And you can stick around after the break, because I want to talk about some specific examples. But really quickly, Gabe, cruises are—I've done plenty of cruises, and I always enjoy them. Even though it is high season for cruises, there are, you know, there's deals out there if you're a little flexible.
Well, the thing about the cruise industry in the U.S., it's still a very young industry. Only about 13% of Americans consider themselves cruisers. And yet the cruise industry is still piling on more and more new ships to ports of call throughout the East Coast, throughout Florida, throughout the Gulf Coast, even the West Coast. So this is still one of the great bargain propositions in the travel industry. You get a cruise, your meals are included, entertainment are included. If you're looking at Caribbean cruises, you've got multiple ports of call that you're hitting up on, day after day after. So if you want to get sort of a snapshot of a Caribbean vacation without committing to just one destination, a cruise can be first type of trip to take. If you really like your particular port of call, that's where you come back next time.
But yeah,
these cruises now have gotten increasingly more competitive and savvier at creating the kind of experience that's going to make you want to come back once you've done it once.
And they have casinos on them, so that really is the best part. You're starting to see into the life of John Hansen, the sort of things that I like to do on vacation, drink and gamble. Gabe, can you stick around for just a few minutes? I got to take a quick commercial break.
I'll stay here.
All right, so Gabe Saglier from TravelZoo. And hey, get your calls in, 312-981-7200. You can text or talk to us. If you got a question for Gabe, maybe you're between a few things, you've always wondered, how does this work with this thing, with traveling? Gabe is the man to ask those questions. We'd love to hear from you. Quick commercial break, and then plenty more coming up on Radio. Even this song bumping in makes me feel happier. I'm thinking about pina coladas right now. Absolutely. 312-981-7200. Call in with where you want to get the heck out of Chicago, too. And Gabe Saglier from TravelZoo, senior editor over there, is helping us out. He's stuck in New York right now. Gabe, how about that pina colada song? Did that put you in the mood?
You've nailed my wife's favorite cocktail, is the pina colada. Either pina colada or high-end tequila. That's what she'll drink.
You know what I like on the cruise ship? I like the mix between the daiquiri and the pina colada. I forget what it's called, but it's like half and half.
The lava?
Yeah, listen,
flow?
It sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, we had a couple questions coming in. Oh, and also a couple comments, by the way. Gabe, I was talking about travel disasters. I know you weren't able to listen to the first part of the show, and I was actually flying into Fort Lauderdale last year when the shooting happened, and so did my brother.
I was listening.
Yeah, and just crazy stuff, and I just talk about timing. We had a text from 847 that someone was hired to staff a specialty cruise a few years ago out of Miami, and a dear friend had moved down to the area a few months before to take care of an elderly parent, and this friend was begging the texter to stay an extra day to visit with her. She was kind of going stir crazy. So this person was going to fly out on Sunday, but they changed their flight till Monday. And between those flights, Hurricane Andrew made landfall. And this person was stuck in Miami till Thursday, which of course sounds like a terrible inconvenience. But the texter said they ended up working with the county relief services to volunteer and help out. And that life is always about timing. Amen to that, right?
No doubt about it. Can I just quick little
Go ahead.
Story that relates to that? We were supposed to head out of New York on Wednesday, and we thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool just to get an extra day in the city? Moved it to Thursday. The Grayson rolls in. Now we're stuck through Monday. So really, one day can make all the difference in the world.
Well, this woman ended up volunteering and helping out this tector, so you should go shovel some driveways or something, Gabe.
You know what? There's a lot of people doing that as we speak. New Yorkers have figured, I live in Southern California, that this shoveling of snow thing to me is like the kind of stuff you see in movies. Or when I come visit you in Chicago, that's what I see. That's not my forte.
You're right. Hey, Gabe, we got a question for the 847. I don't know if this is your area of expertise or not, but you're pretty an expert at everything. They were wondering if there's any tips that you have for throwing an all-inclusive destination wedding in a tropical location. Do you ever get people at Travelzoo kind of asking about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that all of these, and if you're specifically talking about the Caribbean, there are resorts, obviously a slew of all-inclusive resorts, and there are many that do specialize on large parties, multi-generational kinds of trips, and certainly even and weddings. We stayed a couple of years ago. We celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary at a place called The Excellence in Punta Cana, the Dominican Republic. And it had and it specializes in certainly in honeymooners and anniversary types of trips. But they were promoting, a portion of their staff dedicated exclusively to weddings. And those can be very, those are worth considering because the all-inclusive concept means that your guests arrive. And everything they do, everything they drink, everything they eat is included. Extra kinds of experiences that are specific to your wedding party and your wedding experience are going to be above and beyond. But if you time it in the year, for example, I mean, if you do it in January or February, you're paying high prices. If you can do it sort of right after spring break, toward the early part of the summer, before hurricane season begins to get active, you're finding some really good rates, especially for larger parties. And the all-inclusive experience can be a real bonus because it leaves a lot of the homework off of your plate. And it's hard to beat some of these gorgeous tropical destinations. So, yes, you pick your destination, you pick the island you're looking at, and then you can research. There's a bevy of these resorts that specialize on these kinds of weddings and anniversary experiences.
And, of course, TravelZoo.com, a great place for all these resources. Hey, I want to get to a few of these examples for me. This is now you're helping me out, Gabe, all right? Maybe some listeners, too, take some notes down. I want to get the heck on out of here in March or April. Where are a few of the examples you have for me? Where should I be going, Gabe?
And that's a great time to really look at if you can hold off until March or April. That's when we begin to see prices, come down. They'll peak now through mid to late March. Mid-March into April, they'll start to soften, and then they'll soften off even more by the time we get to the summer season. I found a couple of things off the Travelzoo website that we published just in the last couple of days that I think are right up your alley. The first one is to a company called Apple Vacations. I mentioned the importance of working with like solid, really good vacation packagers. These guys certainly, and especially if you're flying out of the Midwest, Apple does a great job. It's airfare to Chicago. 3 nights at a place called the Blue Bay Grand Esmeralda Resort.
Ooh.
Four-star property on the water, and it's all inclusive, the price point here is $449. Now, the caveat here is you're looking at very specific dates. So this is where flexibility comes in. So Apple Vacations has bought up, X amount of seats at Chicago, X amount of and this is in Cancun, by the way, in the Riviera Maya. Mm-hmm. X amount of rooms, Airport transfers included, if you can fall within the specific January, February, and March date that they've pre-selected, boom, you're getting a $449 per person rate, which is, you know, a major bargain, especially this time of year. But it's also a testament to the fact that you're going to the Riviera Maya, where there is just a lot of competition out there for U.S. dollars.
Yeah, for sure. And that sounds great. That $449 price point for those two nights sounds great. But yeah, like you said, if you're flexible going in, you're going to have a lot of options if you're not just doing Saturday to Saturday or something like that. Okay, Bermuda, that's another place we can go, right?
So Bermuda is, so, you know, interesting. Bermuda is about 1,000 miles north of Puerto Rico. So this is not your sort of quintessential Caribbean destination. Temperatures do drop to like the mid to upper 60s to near, you know, maybe low 70s. So we're not talking the 80s and 90s that a lot of these other quintessential Caribbean destinations are seeing. But it is a great alternative because the temperatures are a little bit cooler than the rest of the Caribbean, the rates are just much more aggressive and desirable. So the Fairmont Southampton, gorgeous four diamond property are there in the pink sand beaches of Bermuda. $185 a night for travel.
Oh, wow.
Right now in March. $185 gourmet breakfast daily. So you're seeing less all inclusive there, but you're seeing more of these elegant resorts on the water. Fairmont Southampton, fantastic property. You know, gets thumbs up across the board. And they'll ferry you across to downtown Hamilton where you can go dining and shopping. There's a sister Fairmont resort that you can go and access as well. But for under $200 a night,
yeah,
this four diamond resort is again, Bermuda, not as hot as the rest of the Caribbean, but good airlift, a lot of flights out there, and good price points this time of year as well. Certainly better than some of the sub-zero temperatures a lot of us are dealing with right now.
Yeah, Gabe, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to star that one. Hey, we've got a quick call I want to take, a question from a listener. Grayson, you're on the line. You're calling from Hawaii, Grayson? Am I getting that right?
Yes, hi. Good morning. Aloha.
Oh, good morning to you. It's good afternoon over here.
Aloha.
It's about 72 degrees here. Anyway, just wanted to find out if you have any tips for cruises to the New England, Canada around October.
October up to New England and Canada. Do they even do cruises like that, Gabe?
Are you talking? Did you say New England?
Yes.
Or did you say just Canada? Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, there are some fantastic cruises, primarily. I mean, it's a kind of a long haul from Hawaii over to place like Boston and New York. But come late summer into early fall, you're going to be seeing some beautiful, you know, 6 and 7 night cruises up through New England and into Canada. This couples with leaf peeping season as well. That's when prices of these cruises will be a little bit higher. But if you know, you'll save some money if you go sort of on the outer edges of peak leaf peeping season in New England. That's a lot of.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But some of these cruises are for people who love seeing the changing of the seasons. Are very, very popular, and it just means getting yourself mainly to Boston and New York for some of these cruises up north in New England and Canada. And people love them. I mean, the visuals and the excursions you get into these destinations up there at that time of year when the weather is just almost perfect. Are always very popular.
Grayson, thank you so much for the phone call all the way from Hawaii. We appreciate that. And Gabe Saglia, I could have you on for hours. We could talk forever about this stuff. And you've done your job. I feel warmer and happier, Gabe.
Right? That's the idea. I just got to get a pina colada delivered to you at the studio. I'm work on that.
Now we're talking. Hey, Gabe, really great to chat with you. And where can people find out more information about all this stuff?
Check out TravelZoo.com. I'm also, if you want to follow TravelZoo or me, Gabe Saglia, at Twitter. I'm going to tweet out some of the deals we talked about and a couple of other warm weather options that are happening as we speak if you're ready to get out of the cold right now.
I am. Gabe, thanks so much for your time, okay?
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Stay warm out there in New York. All right, got to take a quick break, and plenty more coming up on WGN. 720 WGN, looking out on Michigan Avenue, and there's a lot of cold people out there. How you guys doing today? You feeling good?
Yeah.
You're on WGN. What's your name, hon?
You say Addie.
Addison.
Addison. Are you named after Addison Street because your parents are Cubs fans?
No.
Okay. All right. It's a great name either way.
It's my birthday week.
It's your birthday week. How old are you going to be, Addison?
Seven.
You're excited about that, I bet. Are you cold? Is that why you're doing the little dance? Have a great day, Addison, and a great birthday. So long, guys. Oh, I love talking to people on the street. They should have never, Camille, told me where that button is, because I now
it's
love
so
to.
It's so fun.
Well, you know, we're often on, I'm often filling in with Esmeralda overnight or on the weekend late or something like that. So nice to see the sun out and being able to chat with people walking on Mission Avenue. And she is a little cutie. Happy birthday week to Addison. She's turning 7, someone who's much older than that. Blake Stubbs joins me now on 720 WGN. Blake, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing pretty well. Trying to stay warm.
Yeah, right.
You know, which is a bit of a task.
Yeah.
Right now, regardless of where you live in Illinois. So there you go.
Many people who listen to the show know Blake because he's on all the time with Dane Neal, very frequently. Blake sometimes in studio chilling with him. I just want people to understand the backstory of this, that I actually knew Blake first, and we are college buddies years and years ago, and I was going to have Blake on one night to talk about movies, and I got sick. So Dane Neal filled in for me and kept all the guests, and Blake was one of those guests, and now Blake likes Dane more than me.
Well, I mean, yeah. He brings the good food, man. What can I tell you? He knows all the best things to eat, and I got to go where my stomach leads me.
Yeah, but I also give you drinks at Murphy's when I'm down there in Champaign-Urbana, so come on.
Yes, that's very true. And you know what? Sometimes I forget that.
Yeah, well, there's a reason, because it's usually 6 or 7 of them, and you've forgotten the whole thing. All right, we're going to talk to Blake about the Golden Globes. But, you know, Blake, I wanted to start this out because we're getting some texts about just, you know, because like on a cold day like today or like we've had the last couple weeks, sometimes there is nothing better than like just pouring yourself a little whiskey or whatever your drink of choice may be, even if it's hot cocoa, and just vegging out to a movie. Now, people might say that this is just your favorite movies, but there's some movies that just feel good on a cold day to just watch, even if you've seen them before, right?
Right, exactly. It's funny. You brought this up to me a little earlier, so I've had a little time to think about it. And I know that everybody, whatever they're going to send in or offer up as a discussion point, this is always going to be deeply personal for whatever reason. It's just, one of their favorites or something that somebody recommended to them or something that they watched on a date. For me, you know, a couple that I've always loved to watch, especially on a cold day, and you brought up whiskey, not me. I'm gonna say that.
Right.
But one of those movies has always been In Bruges.
In Bruges.
Martin McDonagh's Oscar-nominated film. He was nominated for Best Original Screenplay. He's also nominated for Golden Globes today, or this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's one of those. It's a very dark comedy, but it's got a lot of really heavy, hard-hitting drama. It's laugh-out-loud hilarious, brilliant performances, gorgeous photography of Bruges, Belgium. It's just one of those films where the darkness in the movie, I think, just helps. Like, if you're on a cold winter's night and you got a nice cocktail in front of you, it's a good movie to put on, and it's going to make you feel a lot of stuff.
You know, you mentioned...
always one I want to recommend.
You mentioned that stuff. I wondered if people would text in, like, warmer things to keep their hearts warm, but I agree. Like, right. I like it to match the mood of the place that I'm in right then and there. Like, I feel weird watching a movie set in the Hawaiian Islands when we're cold here. I like a nice, cold movie to watch, too. They'll see those people shivering outside.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where, like, you know, people, when it's this cold, a lot of people, the reason that they're in watching movies like this is because they might be a little under the weather.
True.
So when I think about that, big thing I always go with is The Princess Bride.
Oh.
What better movie to watch when you're sick than the movie where the kid's sick and his grandpa's going to read him a great story?
That is...
You know, just kind of put it in, relax, and just enjoy it.
That's also a movie you probably saw years ago and you haven't seen. I think those are always great movies to rewatch again on a cold day. 262 texts in a couple movies to veg out to. Marooned. Okay.
Yes.
Armageddon. That's kind of like a guilty pleasure, right? You know?
It is. It is. And if you're cold and stranded, what better way to, you know, enjoy that than watch Bruce Willis and company, you know, save the world? Yeah. Why not?
Right, exactly. And one of them ends up getting cold and stranded too, but I don't want a spoiler alert. So,
yes.
Space Cowboys, is that the one with like Tommy Lee Jones and all them?
And Clint Eastwood, yeah. Yeah. It's one of those movies I always forget about, and then someone brings it up and I think, "You know what? I need to revisit that." it's like the right stuff, but with all these older actors that we love. And again, at the time it was being made, I think there were a lot of discussions about studying the effects of aging in space. So, you know, like that was a timely movie because John Glenn, I think, had just gone up or was getting ready to go up at the time, you know, as an older man. And so it was kind of a hot button movie, but at the same time, like kind of forgettable, but once in a while, you got to revisit those things.
That was 2000, and you know, it's interesting because Armageddon was right before then. Deep Impact was right around the same time. What was with the late 90s and our obsession with going into space?
I'm not quite sure exactly. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I'm a big fan of all things nerdy, but at the same time, first of all, this kind of comes in waves in Hollywood, I think, movies that, you know, revolve around space. And I'm not talking about your Star Wars films. I'm talking about the movies that try to ingrain themselves in a reality. Things like A Deep Impact and An Armageddon are obviously a little more fanciful, sort of, you know, world extinction events. But things like Space Cowboys, Gravity is another film that came many years later. It takes us somewhere where I think deep down a lot of people want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they can get a compelling story and the technology keeps improving, so there's new ways to execute this and make the weightlessness of being in space look more real.
Right.
It's, you know, Apollo 13 is another film
that
came out a few years before those. It's just one of those things where as I think cinema and the technology that helps create it gets better, we're always going to revisit this because it helps people get closer and closer. Because if you go to movies to be transported, what better way than to go into space?
Well, I mean, and
I mean, that's just one of the coolest things.
Right.
Ever.
It just feels like we had a lot of them during those years. But then when you think about it, man, there's space movies all the time. Of course, it's that fancy place. It's the place to, like you said, escape. One quick reminder, you mentioned the filming of the weightlessness. I know how they did because I've seen it behind the scenes of like Apollo 13.
Right.
Can you explain to people how that works, how they get people to be in zero gravity?
So what they do is they'll take them up in what is more, you know, affectionately known as the vomit comet. They'll take actors up in a plane. And then they go up, they go very high, and then they take very deep dives. And when they do that, it simulates the weightlessness of just being in space. If you want to see a really practical application of this, there's a music video by the band OK Go.
Oh, yeah.
They do exactly that. And what they did was they did it all in one take, and the plane just keeps going up and down and up and down. But the way they film it with the cameras, you don't see the up and down. What you're seeing is how people are responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very practical application, and it actually is not always a visual effect. They're not always, you know, doing that thing of the grand lie sometimes that cinema can perpetrate on the audience. That's actually people experiencing a form of weightlessness, but they're doing it, you know, in real time, and they're doing it for real.
What an acting challenge
really
that must be, because not only that, the time window you have, clearly there's a limit because the ground comes at some point.
Yes.
So you're filming these scenes that are sometimes much longer than a minute, but what, you got like 30, 45 seconds of time once you get adjusted, they say action and go, and you got to do it.
Right, exactly. And again, it's a painstaking task to do it. It involves a lot of people and a lot of very skilled, oriented people, not just people behind the camera. Okay, this is skilled pilots. This is stunt coordinators, actors themselves pulling off these incredible stunts. And a lot of people, I think, as an audience, kind of forget that this is one of those really rare and cool things that gets pulled off to create a sense of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been done several times. You know, there's a lot of great movies you can watch that have pulled this off. And then, of course, there are times where all it is visual effect.
Right, right, right.
But they have to blend those together for safety reasons or, you know, just because, hey, to pull this off and tell the story the way we want to tell it visually, we have to do it this way.
Camille,
whenever they can, do it for real.
Producer Camille, did you know that that's how they did that or no?
No, I had no idea. Yeah, I thought it was just kind of movie magic.
Yeah, and sometimes it might be, but yeah, it's an up and down of that plane, which would freak me out. All right, Blake, you're going to stay on the line. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're getting suggestions in. 312-981-7200. That perfect movie on a cold day to just sit there with your drink of choice and enjoy. Maybe one of those longer movies. That's the other thing about on a cold day. Like, sometimes if you know it's a 2.5 hour running time or 2:15, you're thinking, I'm not going to watch that. I'm rushing to do this, rushing to do that. Hell, it's below 20 again today, so you've got the time to watch one of those longer ones. Maybe a long trilogy, the whole thing. So call us and text us, 312-981-7200. More 720 WGN, John Hansen in for Dane Neal. We're talking with Blake Stubbs, who's a frequent guest of the show. Blake is nice and warm inside, but I got to ask people out in the street, hey, you guys cold out there? How you feeling? Yeah, they're all cold? Y'all cold out there? All bundled up? They're cold and quiet. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Well, I'm toasty in here. Blake, I love talking to the people on the street. Anyways, talking about toasty movies to watch inside. Maybe you got a couple hours to kill. And Blake, you messaged me on Facebook one that you wanted to mention for sure, and I agree 100% with what you're about to say.
Oh, absolutely. It's a movie that I think a lot of people have seen. Maybe they don't remember, or maybe I'm wrong and not a lot of people did see it, but Mystery Alaska which has a Russell Crowe, like it's early, I think it's late 90s, early 2000s, Russell Crowe, Hank Azaria. It's about a small town in Alaska that has a very popular, for the sake of the town, hockey team. They have a weekly game that's very important to the community. They get a chance to play an NHL franchise in their hometown, and it's just sort of this big media circus and what it's like to see that. But it's a comedy. It's full of actors that you're going to recognize. One of the lesser talked about films, I think, of the last 20 years that I've always enjoyed. I always try to watch it when it's freezing cold outside or close to Christmas. That kind of thing, but I think today might be a good day to put it on, to be honest with you.
You know which one I really like to watch in cold weather, and I think it's probably because of the opening scene and where it takes place, which I believe is Prague, Mission Impossible. It's complicated. It's often set in cold. It's got that mysterious, darker look and feel to it, so it just kind of mimics the mood.
I think it does very much, especially, like you said, the way it kicks off. I think is a big part of it. And the other thing is, it's a really stylish movie for the 90s.
Yes.
It's one of those things that had big stunts, big action, big actors. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, we're always talking about how, like, oh, they're going to reboot this, they're going to reboot that. That was a really cool reboot at the time from an old television series. So I'm with you on that one. In fact, that's a movie I try to revisit at least every couple of years. Somehow it just, you know, creeps into my timeline. And I say it's because they're still making them.
Right.
But at the same time, I try not to, you know, forget where they came from. And, you know, Brian De Palma directed that, Tom Cruise, John Voight. I mean, there's just so much to like about that movie.
And maybe the next time I see it, I will understand what the heck it is happening in the movie, because it's a little confusing. Okay, 217 texts in Love Actually, some hot cocoa with sprinkles on whipped cream. And Blake, it's one of your good friends. Becky was texting that on in. We all love Becky, of course. 847 chimed in the movie Frozen, and we're not talking about the animated one, because that's what I thought at first. This texter's talking about you'll feel the chill as three kids are left on a chairlift, a horror film. It's intense and very cold. Have you seen that one, Blake?
You know what? I remember seeing this. I think it was on television. And I was like, what is this movie? And then somebody was explaining it to me. I came in, like, you know, late to the party. But it does. It's got that sort of suspense thriller. It stars Sean Ashmore, who people might recognize from the X-Men movies, the early X-Men movies. He always played Iceman in that. So not to draw a direct connection to the whole Iceman being lost in the cold. But
right.
It was one of those movies that when people have seen it, it's come up on a lot of recommended lists. And yeah, Frozen, it's kind of hard to not confuse it with
right.
You know, the very popular animated film.
Yeah. Hey, Blake,
that's a really good pick.
We had a text from Sue on the 847, and I like the cold weather watching while in cold weather, but Sue mentions Field of Dreams, which is one of my favorite movies. You got baseball, summer, warmth, family, what more could you ask for? And that's a great flick, too.
And a heck of a tearjerker. I mean, really, it just hits you in all the right places. I agree, 100%.
And we got a 630 saying, oh, and this is one divided my house between myself and my roommate Dana, who you know well, Blake, Snowpiercer. So I loved it with Chris Evans. I thought it was wonderful. Dana, my roommate, could not stand it. Hated it. It really divides. Camille, you're shaking your head.
It's so good.
It's so good, Blake.
It's so good.
What are you thinking?
I was a very big proponent of this. Bong Joon-ho, the director of this film, is a favorite of mine. So when this movie was getting made, I was like, oh, he's making the big step. This is going to be the thing. And it was. I mean, he just did Okja this last year. So, like, but Snowpiercer was a movie that was unlike almost anything else that came out the year that it came out.
We should explain it because the plot is really cool. The plot is really cool because it basically is a class movie about how the front of the train are the rich, wealthy people that live in luxury.
Yes.
The back of the train are the poor peasants, and everyone on Earth is reduced to just this one train that moves forever. There's no other, if I'm remembering correctly, no other humans on Earth.
Yeah.
They all live on this train, and you see kind of class warfare play out on this train. It goes a little bit wacko jacko at the end, but that's the way it's supposed to go. But it looks beautiful. It's an interesting plot start, and I don't know. I loved every second of it.
I'm 100% with you on this. The other thing is the cast of this film. I mean, you mentioned Chris Evans, who, you know, obviously is very popular due to Captain America, and he's always been good. Okay, Chris Evans is not a bad actor in any way, shape, or form.
Not bad looking on the eyes either, I just might say.
He's pretty easy on the eye. I can agree with that. But, like, if you just look at a cast list and you say Jamie Bell, Octavia Spencer, Tilda Swinton, John Hurt, Ed Harris, like, everyone that, you know, is a big, like, fixture point in this movie is recognizable. And this is a director who was, you know, crossing a very big pond. You know, he's a Korean director who came over and wanted to you know, tell a really cool story that was visually intense, which more or less is how he's always directed films. But that movie, like you said, was divisive. And I don't know, from 2013, I'm trying to recall, was there a movie that I talked more about, like in, you know, being on the defensive for, or right. like trying to get a sense of why people didn't like it? Snowpiercer is a really cool movie, and it is definitely one to watch on a cold day, especially because, you know, really the whole world's frozen over.
Yeah,
it is. It fits that mood, that look that we're talking about.
So I'm just tweeting out right now, and I'm going to tag Blake in it. Blake can be found on Twitter at Blake Stubbs. You got the only Blake Stubbs tweet. Nice job there, Blake, for your handle. I'm John, J-O-N, the Cubs fan, and all I'm going to do, and I want to hear from you guys, and maybe watch it tonight and let me know, Snowpiercer, yay or nay? That poll is now on my Twitter. Okay, so that one obviously divides people. We have an 815 says Miracle on Ice, such a great feel-good story. That's an awesome one, of course. Family Stone. Do you know Family Stone, Blake?
I do. One of my dear friends brought that movie up to me a couple of years ago, and at that point I had never seen it. I kind of vaguely recall like hearing about it because, you know, it's one of those Hollywood or holiday movies that I think, you know, comes out, or that's the tone that you
right.
always, you know, think about was, but the family stuff was like a big deal, and the cast is, you know, fantastic. And it's got one of those makes you feel a whole lot of different stuff, but
yeah.
Claire Danes, Diane Keaton. I agree. That's a great pick, actually, for a cuddle up, you know, in the house.
Yeah. Or you got a special someone next to you cuddling up. 815. My stay in winter movie is You Got Mail with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I like Ooh. When you throw back to kind of a classic.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, come on, that dynamic between Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. I mean, even if it's not You Got Mail, Joe versus the Volcano is a big one, especially if you want to get away. You know, if you want to go and you want to sit in on a cold day and think about being in a warm place. Joe versus Volcano is a pretty great pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this wavelength that this listener is on, I'm digging it because I love that dynamic those two always had.
We got one. I've never heard of this movie. Maybe not. It might be a little before your time, Blake. Bell Book and Candle. Anything on that one?
That one?
1958, I think I'm sitting here. It's a comedy. A modern day witch likes her neighbor but despises his fiance. So she enchants him to love her instead, only to fall in love with him for real. Spoiler alert, IMDb. Come on, but Bell Book and Candle. I'd never heard of that.
See, now this is what I love about coming on WGN. Every time I come off, you know, the air, I always have some new film that either I've missed or I've never heard of, and I want to go check it out. And you, I mean, just looking this up quickly, James Stewart, Kim Novak, Jack Lemmon. You sold me. I mean,
yeah.
Sign me up.
Awesome. We'll have to watch that one together, maybe with some whiskey, Blake. 815 says, I really like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, yes. Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer, Michelle Monaghan. That movie was really funny and a big success, I think, when it came out that a lot of people weren't expecting.
Yeah.
And if you go back in time to like when that movie came out, that was 2005. So if you look and think about it with Iron Man coming out, you know, the first Iron Man movie, that was still Robert Downey Jr. in that I'm in the renaissance of my career and reviving it after having a rough go. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang made a very big impression. And it led to him, I think, cementing this case that, yes, he is one of the finest actors of his generation. And I think it also was one of those big pillars that led to him getting the Tony Stark role, which, by the way, he was born to play. But
yeah.
If you want to, you know, make a short list at the time in 2005 or 2006 when that's going to start, I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang put him at the forefront.
Couple more texts really quickly. 708 says, I like to eat pasta. Well, I'm on board with that. And watch I Love You to Death.
I Love You to Death.
Oh, is this another one we got to write down and watch later?
Yeah, this one's going to get written down because it's got Kevin Kline and Tracy Ullman in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that I had a chance to watch this because it was on TV one day, and I missed it.
All right,
I'm a big Kevin Kline fan.
They've got me sold on Joey owns a pizza parlor, and he's married to Rosalie. He's also a serial womanizer. Rosalie goes to extremes when she finds out he's been cheating, a comedy. I Love You to Death. There's a picture of a pizza on it. I am in.
Sign me up.
All right.
Absolutely.
Last two. It's Complicated with Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin, and Steve Martin.
Yes, actually. Well, I mean, Meryl Streep and, you know, that whole cast is just going to be worth watching regardless. I mean, that's one of those things where, see, this is the thing, too. I think people are always drawn to their favorite actors or actresses, and it hooks them. But then when you get to see a performance and a new take on a character or type of personality, these are the right actors for doing that. And I think that it's one of those things where if it sticks, you got to sit and watch it when the time comes and you're just kind of stuck and you want to revisit something. That's what I think is the trend with this sort of, you know, cuddle up on a cold day and watch a movie, then you're going to do more revisiting than you are stepping into a new realm.
For sure.
New stories to tell.
For sure. Just a follow-up on Bell, Book, and Candle, and we'll wrap it up here. It takes place at Christmas time, Manhattan, covered in snow. This is the texter who's following up on this. Kim Novak and James Stewart on top of the Flatiron Building with snow swirling around. So now it makes sense why you like to cuddle up on a cold day and watch Bell, Book, and Candle. That's the one takeaway we're going to have, Blake. You're going to watch that one and let us know what you think. You can go on our Twitter page, John the Cubs Fan's Mind, J-O-N the Cubs Fan. Blake, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter, at Blake Stubbs. And by the way, I think I was the first vote on your poll. So yeah, 100%. No piercers, a yay. That's great.
I voted too.
Oh, I was wondering how I got two so quickly. Well, I'd love to hear from everyone else. Hey, Blake, we didn't even get to the Golden Globes. Who cares? Thanks for joining us, as always.
Absolutely. Total pleasure. You guys stay warm, okay?
I will, with my little whiskey after the show, of course. Seven twenty WGN, John Hanson in for Dane Neal. And by the way, Camille, you and I didn't talk about this. Blake Stubbs and I will play the guest that we just had on. We will play The Killers, this song, on the jukebox at Murphy's every single time we drink together. So
I just love this song.
It just happened to work out that way. Blake's no longer on the air with us, but we are joined by Amy Guth, who's kind of like halfway between your two shifts, not quite halfway there yet.
Yeah, I just sort of hang out here on Saturdays between shows. It's all good.
Well, we were chatting when I was getting ready for this show, and I kind of wanted to talk about this, and it's great to have someone to chat about with this sort of stuff, and you too, the listeners as well, 312-981-7200. So I'm in a newer relationship. Couple months in, very exciting stuff. Everything's going really well, going great. And we've come up with really fun date activities. Being in the world of media, you know, we don't get paid very much, but we have access to like behind the scenes things and cool stuff. So we've been doing a lot of cool things, different things, a helicopter ride.
Oh, going that's to, like on my bucket list.
Yeah. And then we were able to do it and, you know, maybe not pay the full price, things like that. You know how it goes. Going to a couple Blackhawks games, stuff like that. So really cool stuff. But it is a challenge in the winter. And this is not only for people in new relationships, anyone looking to spice things up or do something different with someone you've been married for 50 years.
Good old date night.
It gets hard and we get so redundant. And I've learned from past mistakes about trying to avoid those sort of redundancies or just the old, fine, we'll stay in and get Grubhub or we'll go to a movie. There's nothing wrong with those. And those should probably be the majority of nights you spend together. But you need spontaneity. You need those sorts of things. And it gets harder in the winter.
It's true. Because in the summer, you can just like make a little picnic basket and go sit by the lake and just hang out.
Go for a walk.
Yeah. It's
so easy.
Not at all in the winter.
So we were talking and I want you guys to text and call in. And I also have an article to read and pull a few ideas out from Time Out. 312-91-7200. It's cold. It's the winter. You're either in a new relationship or an old one. What is your advice to me? Because it's all about me right now. What should I be doing on my dates in the Chicagoland area? And if you've got any ideas, I'd really appreciate it. So Amy, you had an interesting one, and I want you to share it with the listeners.
Okay, this is I think this would be just a dream day. This would be so fun to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Get a stack of $1 bills.
Every guy right now, his ears perked up. They're like, I think I know where this is going.
Like, hello, Amy Guth. I'm not going where you think I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to all the photo booths in town, or as many as you care to go to. Stop, have a drink there, and then get into the photo booth, take different kinds of photos at each one. I think that would be so fun, especially, I think, for a newer relationship, because then you... Well, I guess it doesn't matter.
It's an opportunity to sneak a kiss in or something like that.
It's a reason to sneak a kiss. You're close together. If you maybe have just started going out, maybe not a first date.
Right.
But that could be like a second date, because then you have to be close in
third or fourth date.
Not raunchy way, right?
Right.
You just have to like, you know, snuggle up to both be in the frame.
And a lot of them are maybe at a bar, so you have one drink or something there, and you split one or something, you move on. The question I would have is that you'd obviously, I think, have to put out somewhere. Where are all of them? I can think of a few places that have photo booths, but I can't think of 20. I guess 20 would probably be way too many. But you know,
you'd be very drunk at that point. 20 photo booths later, woo!
You know, that'd be really cool. I'm totally gonna steal this idea. I hope this other person isn't listening right now, because then they'll know the gift that they're gonna get later. But how cool would it be to keep the photos, and then if things go well at the first year anniversary, it's a frame of all of the pictures that you took.
Oh, that's That's a very romantic idea.
What is that?
I hope my boyfriend's listening.
Yeah, right?
Tonight's our 3-year anniversary date, so...
Oh, what are you guys doing?
We don't know.
The photo booths.
We have to go to... I have to go to Serbian church after this, because Serbian Christmas Eve. Whoa. And then
that's
after
a unique date. That's different.
It's different. It's fun.
So if you're not busy later, did you want to go to Serbian
church? St. Archangel Michael in Lansing? Anybody?
Okay, well, then this whole segment has changed. It was about me at first.
Right.
But I can go on dates. I can figure this out. Camila, it's her 3-year anniversary.
That's very sweet.
Are you guys married or are you dating?
Oh, we're dating. Yeah, okay. We're dating.
Wait, is there any chance, that on a date night tonight, something might happen?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to jinx it. But
no, it's okay.
3 years? But 3 years? I mean, come on.
Yeah, we're both still living at our respective parents' houses. Ah. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you'll advance yet. A little past it. I understand. Okay. All right. So 312-981-7200. Now we need a date for Camille tonight on her 3-year anniversary. Cool? Are you okay with if we put that out to the listeners?
Why not? Yeah.
I don't know. Because were you just thinking kind of like dinner and drinks or something?
I don't know. So he's out in Northwest Indiana, but we're able to get to the city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've always wanted to try that Bombo Bar, but it's outside. So you can't.
Oh.
It's like a walk up kind of
thing. I don't
even
know Bombo Bar.
It's at that hot chocolate kind of like hot chocolate and like donuts, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but that's my only idea, and it's outside.
Could you tonight like go to what's it called, Hotwire, and get like a really cheap hotel room? Unless that's maybe that's too risque after Serbian Christmas Eve. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't
you're
even be saying anything.
Cheapening Serbian Christmas Eve.
I don't know if that's going to upset the parents on both sides. I didn't want to.
What's that? There's another app that's like Hotel Tonight.
Hotel Tonight, yeah.
I used that when I got stranded at an airport, and I used it, and I got a great hotel. It was awesome. Could you do that?
Just an idea.
Something like that.
Yeah, that'll spice things up.
We're here to help.
So 312-981-7200. Amy, can you stick around a little bit longer?
Of course I can.
All right, we'll chat with Amy about other date ideas. Get those date ideas in. And then I've got some ideas for you, Camille, and everyone else out there from Time Out. They had 9 adorable date ideas for wintertime in Chicago. We'll talk about that and plenty more on 720 WGN. is this an indication of what your 3-year date's gonna be, Camille?
No, I just thought it'd be funny. My poor mother's listening.
Oh no, Mrs. Camille. Oh, wait, hold on, let me get your Mrs. Camille. Wait, I gotta say your last name again because it's a go. Oh, Suknovich.
There you go,
Mrs. Suknovich. Everything is fine. Do not worry. Okay. So it is Camille's, our producer's, 3-year anniversary tonight. She needs ideas for a date. I'm in a new relationship. I like to keep things spontaneous. Amy Guth, always spontaneous with new fun and ideas. And you've got a couple here for us, right? Like good, cool date nights to do. And the challenge is here in 312-981-7200. Text or call in if you've got a good one. It's the cold weather.
Right.
That's what, it's most likely got to be inside.
Right.
And you kind of run out of things to do.
True.
At least you think you do.
It's true.
Until you talk to Amy Guth.
I am an idea person. Mm-hmm. I'm here to help. Okay. Adler After Dark, if you've never been to that, is really fun.
Okay, so it's the planetarium, obviously.
It's the planetarium. They usually have a band and a bar.
Whoa.
In that little area where you walk out onto the balcony to look out over the lake. That area with the glassed-in kind of roof, they have one time they had a Led Zeppelin cover band. And they have a bar up there and people are dancing. But also they open up all the exhibits and all the kids' stuff that's interactive, they open it up for adults.
Uh-huh.
And so you're drinking, you're walking around the museum. It's a little less crowded, but kind of crowded in a different way. And and you're drinking, and it's warm.
It's exclusively for adults 21 and over. This evening offers you access, unlimited shows, and unique entertainment, and it's every third Thursday of the month from 6 to 10 p.m., so you got to start writing that down. And they have themes, I guess, that change every month? Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I've been to a couple of them, and they're really fun.
I'd have to take Friday off work to do that, though, because that's a little late for a morning show. But that's okay.
That's true.
That's fine. If there's going to be drinking involved. That's a good one. I'm going to write this down. Okay. What else you got for me, Amy? And of course, Camille.
If drinking is not your thing.
Some people it isn't.
There is I don't know if you've ever had kava, not the bubbly alcohol, but it's an Indonesian root that's brewed like a tea.
Okay.
It tastes kind of coconutty, but it looks like dishwater, but it's very good. It's
you delicious. Haven't sold me yet on this thing.
Well, the only kava bar in the Midwest is right here in Chicago.
Okay.
It's in the Westtown neighborhood. It's on Hermitage and Division.
Oh, that's by us.
It's called Tropicava. It's really cool. It has a kind of a chill bar vibe, but kind of tiki bar feeling. And you drink this stuff out of coconut shells and you can mix it with smoothies and like lots of healthy stuff. But kava has kind of a euphoric quality to it. So I know one of the people that works there because I've gone in there many times.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it cracks her up to see first dates in there because people will be nervous and then they get a little kava in them. And it's not like alcohol kind of inhibition driving,
right.
But suddenly there's like they're smiling and they kind of cozy up and suddenly the date starts going really well.
Camille. Kava bar. Kava. What's that? Hermitage and Division.
Okay. And it feels like summer in there because it's tropical.
Oh, right? I like
that's cool.
That's a good one. And you know, and then stretch of Division where there are so many terrible places you can go out. So many bro,
lots of bro,
which is fine. Everyone's got a time when they do that.
Speaking of, I was at one of said places, like
bro places,
right there, waiting for just picking up some food.
Okay,
just kind of standing there quickly to grab my food and run out the door, not wanting to stay and socialize with the bro-bros.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy walked up to me. He goes, "Hey, what's up? What's your deal?" I'm like, that's your
what?
Opening line.
That's your start. That's your opener. Hey, what's your deal? What'd you respond with?
I didn't. I just laughed at him. Turn around.
I'm sure he did. Went on to the next person to try.
I'm sure.
Did.
Hey, she didn't have anything to say. What's your deal?
Okay, so Kava Bar and amongst the bro-bros, Adler After Dark, and what else you got for us, Amy?
You know what? A friend of mine went on, she orchestrated an international bar crawl.
Okay.
It was just her and her boyfriend, and she said, you know what? We're kind of in a rut with date night, and so they decided to have a drink and a snack every bar they went to. So they went to Chinatown and had like some drink on fire, and they were kind of like posting pictures on Instagram. It was very cute.
Oh, as they went along.
And
okay.
So they like had, you know, like shumai dumplings and a Mai Tai drink, and then they went to Little Italy and had something.
All in one run
all
of
in
it.
One night. And so they went all, they started kind of early and just were posting around, and they went to Mon Ami Gabi, I think, and had like a brie and champagne, and they just kind of went around. And she said the hangover was brutal because it was a lot of different kinds of alcohol, but a really kind of fun night, and it gave them a reason to kind of check out a lot of restaurants without
in other parts
committing
of the city,
to,
yeah.
Yes, committing to like whole dinner there.
You know, I did a bar crawl. This was down in Urbana-Champaign, but it was really cool, and I bet it'd be even cooler here in Chicago. A pre-war bar crawl, pre-World War II, only bars that have been open before
Ooh.
World War II. And so in our neighborhood, I didn't mean to reveal where, you sort of live in the Ukrainian village-ish area, and me as well, and we've got a lot of them in that area.
Yeah.
Like you got Nilda's, I think that's before World, you got the Happy Village, has got to be before World War II, I think.
If not it, the furniture.
Exactly. I got a little place called Archie's, which is right across, I'm not going to say exactly where I live, but it's pretty darn close. You can hit my apartment with it if you want to try. Archie's is like the 32nd liquor license in the city after Prohibition, and it's a great little place. Yeah,
That would be an interesting bar crawl to get the Prohibition liquor licensing list.
Ooh,
and work your way down
there.
Because the Berghoff has the first one.
Is that number one?
I'm pretty sure.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And you could just like work your way through them.
Oh, man.
Challenge accepted, John Hanson.
Oh, that sounds like a great date night or a bro-bro night. I can't quite tell.
Pass on the bro-bro.
You got a couple other ideas for us?
A couple other ideas. There's a lot of underground supper clubs in Chicago. And sometimes...
What does that mean?
Well, it's like, you know, they'll get an ingredient and a chef. I've been to a couple of them. And you kind of have to know somebody there to get into it, or something like that. And
is it at the restaurant where the chef works?
No, it's usually like in some cool loft or a weird space. I got into one because a realtor that I know needed to, like, she's like, I have all this empty space, and the owners are cool. They were like, you know, do whatever you want there while it's on the market.
Okay.
So it was like this cool, big, weird, empty loft area. And so it was a chef, a relatively well-known chef in the area. And they paired up with a farmer nearby. And they said, okay, pears, that's what we're doing. And he did every single course, had local pears in it. It was fascinating. But it was very much like, you can't tweet tonight. You can't take pictures.
Wow.
And we walked in, and I found out about it through this realtor, but she said sometimes if they're not full, they'll post on Facebook, like, two seats, who's in?
Right now.
Right now. And you just grab them.
So you have to know someone who knows someone.
Yeah.
Sort
of. But I think there's active, like, people kind of work around that and follow them on social media so they can grab those opportunities when they come in. They're really fun.
We had a text from the two. That does sound really cool. And a very unique experience, too. The 217 texted in a carriage ride down Michigan Avenue and then Cheesecake Factory for dessert and drinks. And all I got to say about that is that is a very, that's a great date. It seems like a great time. It seems like a very quintessential like Chicago date thing that you'd want to do. I don't think that that would be
those poor horses, though.
I know.
Are you?
Know.
Does that make you feel bad for the horses?
Is
that,
I do.
Should we feel for the horses there?
I gotta say, I saw an incident with the horse one time.
What do you mean? Very sad.
Taxi v horse.
Oh no!
It was extremely sad. So I can't even look at those horse carriages anymore without fretting about the poor little horsies.
You saw a cab hit a horse?
Yeah.
Down here in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, on a date?
No.
That would ruin the date.
That would ruin
that
the date.
That would kill that mood, especially if you were on the carriage. That would not be good.
Yeah, imagine.
Oh, my God. I thought the worst thing that could happen on a horse carriage ride is what happens to Kramer when he's driving the horses and Rusty can't stop using the restroom.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which also would not
Which
be
is also
like,
bad.
Not particularly romantic for your date.
But Cheesecake Factory, I'm always down for. Desserts and drinks,
I've actually
fine.
Never been there.
You know, and I said that I'd be down for it. I never have either, so maybe I should try it out, too. Yeah. Is it just cheesecake there? Or do they serve other stuff?
They have the biggest menu I've ever seen.
Of cheesecakes or of...
Well, of food. It's just, like, page after page.
That's overwhelming.
Then why are they called the Cheesecake Factory?
Why aren't they the pages and pages food factory?
Yeah. We got everything factory.
Yeah.
Why limit your audience there? Okay. You learn something new.
So here's another idea that I'm stealing from another friend. She and her husband have been together a very, very long time. And they were like, they kind of theme their date nights for a while. So they'll say, we're after ramen. And they'll, like, every date night, they'll go to different ramen places until they feel like they've exhausted it. And then they'll go to, you know, who's got the best ravioli? Who's got the best this? And they kind of go around the city. So it makes them do research. It makes them get out of their comfort zone. But it kind of themes the dates for a little while and helps them kind of like, you know, step out of the comfort zone, but also have a joint project, which I think that sounds pretty fun.
It's interesting you say that because working in media, this is not going to seem like quite a parallel, but bear with me, people, as I walk you through this. Having a themed date night is a little bit like when you host a show that has a theme. Sometimes it's a little easier to become inspired when you've been prompted by something.
It's true.
So like On the Road with Danielle, I'm like, all right, we're going to talk about getting out of Chicago, where to travel, what we can do on dates in the city if you have to be stuck in the area. It's easier. So yeah, I like that. Like pick a theme or a sort of idea and go with it.
Yeah.
That's smart stuff. Camille, you writing these down? Anything coming to your mind?
This is something we've already done, but for you or other people out there, if you like Italian food, there's an amazing restaurant, La Scarola.
Yes.
And right next door is Richard's Bar. And it is the most quintessential Chicago bar.
It's the bar from Uncle Buck.
That's the bar from Uncle Buck?
Yeah,
because I've been in Richard's and it looked familiar and I didn't know why.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, I'm almost nervous to talk about La Scarola on the air because I love it so much.
It's so good.
I would cross an ocean for that calamari.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that poor calamari didn't cross the ocean very far to get to your plate. But
jokes on you, calamari. Delicious. I have never had a bad meal there. It's so good.
Here's something I want to do, but my date will not do it.
Tell me.
I've been told strict no. Ice skating ribbon at Maggie Daly Park.
But
if someone has never been ice skating,
right.
I can see why that would just be a horrendous experience.
Yeah.
What is fun about falling over and over? Ice skating is not something you just pick up.
No, you got to work at it.
Yeah, you really actually have to work at it. And I'm no savant on the ice. I'm no figure skater, as we're watching figure skating here on one of the TVs. And I couldn't play for the Blackhawks, but I do play a little hockey and I know how to do it. That does sound like a terrible date. If one person knows how to do it, and then I don't want to be patronizing, hold my hands as I drag you down, you're still going to fall.
Right.
And you're just going to leave a date with bruises, which is not how any date should end. Well, some people might like some dates that end that way. But
yeah, like you're going to beat yourself up then because you'll be like, oh, my date is such a good ice skater and I really suck at this. Then you're not going to. It's going to be fun.
But if you're both at the same level, it's free if you bring your own skates, which is great. You get to see the city. It's gorgeous. It's $12 to rent a pair, which is a little much, but $14 on the weekends. But, you know, you're getting the view. This stuff, that's not so bad.
Bring a little Lysol for those Rent-A-Foot disease situations.
I'm reading from timeout.com, 9 adorable date ideas here in the cold weather as we're all struggling with it. And if you have one, please call us 312-981-7200 or you can text something unique.
I think stuff like ice skating, like bowling and rock climbing, those are generally kind of fun things.
Awesome.
Because you're not just sitting there like staring. Like movies are fine later, not early
No,
on.
I agree.
You need to sit there and talk.
And do something. And bowling, that was our third date and it was great. A wonderful time.
Because then you're talking, but you have an activity going in front of you. And
be a little competitive.
Yeah.
Who's going to win this one? Right. Change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe play some bets. Not financially, but just like cute little things.
adorable little bits.
Or you can get as crazy as you want with your bets.
super freaky you can bets. Get,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Text those in, 312-981-7200. What do you bet me to go bowling? Warm up at a bar with or restaurant with a fireplace.
That's
so,
a great idea.
Yeah, so I can't think of any. Then I don't think
they, oh, here.
You got some?
The Grafton in Lincoln Square is adorable. It's one of my favorite bars in Chicago. Nice fireplace there. But the Duke of Perth.
Oh, do they, I've never been there.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That's a cozy, wonderful bar. I think, not that I go there all the time, but Wednesday and Friday is all you can eat fish and chips. Just throwing that out there. And it's, I mean, it's great service. It's cozy. It's really cute. And there's this really wonderful fireplace.
The Time Out Chicago, then their article about what I'm reading, I'll tweet it out. They actually do link to 44 bars and restaurants with fireplaces, including upstairs at the Gwen. Camille, you have a
yeah,
fireplace?
Yeah, I went for the suburbs.
Okay. Hey, there we go. Yeah.
In Brookfield, Illinois. Irish Times. They got this awesome fireplace. Same thing on Fridays. All you can eat fish fry and the best shepherd's pie.
Is that off the train?
Right off the train.
I've seen it off the BNSF. Yep.
Right there.
When you first said that, I thought you were trying to say off the chain. Is it so off the train?
Is it hip?
That's what the kids are saying.
Millennials
these days.
Are saying.
My friend right now is trolling her children with cool lingo on purpose just to make them cringe. And she'll be like, "How was your day, sweetheart? Was it lit? Was your day lit?" Just to torment them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sip on some hot cocoa, they say. They got some great coffee spots all over the city, of course, but there are some great sweet tooths and destinations. There's one by us at Wicker Park. Mindy, what, why am I blanking on her name? Mindy Sterling, is it? I don't know. She runs a great place called Hot Chocolate, I think it's called, right on Damon.
Right on Damon.
Right on Damon,
north. 606. Mm-hmm.
Just north. Yeah, just south of the 606. Mm-hmm. I butchered her name. I got to look that one up. Then they have ideas, and this is a good one, I think. And we mentioned the game on, getting your game on, whether it's bowling. There's a lot of arcade bars, and I think that's not all ages. That's a 21 plus sort of thing. But, you know, it's not all just the video. We're talking about video arcade games from the 80s, the 70s, stuff like that.
Oh, I just thought of another one.
What do you
there
got?
Is a place. It's a funeral home in Palatine called...
What?
Wait. Bear with me.
Okay.
It is called Algrim.
Algrim.
There's an H in there after the G.
Okay.
And they have the bottom of it, the basement, is a mini golf course with like a spooky Halloween haunted house sort of theme. And they have a bunch of arcade stuff. It is free to go. You have to call ahead. I've written about them before. You have to call ahead to make sure there's not a funeral.
Oh, so it's an active funeral home. It's not just a turned one.
No. And it's the nicest people run it. And I called them. I was like, I heard that you have a funeral situation with some golf. She's like, yeah, come on out. We don't have a funeral for a couple of days. Come on out. And so she was like, okay, we're going to, like, the people live there. So they were going, okay, we're going to go watch TV. But, you know, you guys have so much fun. And it was, I went there with some friends and we played mini golf.
In a funeral home.
Yeah, they were like, here's the restroom, don't go in that door.
I was just going to say, downstairs at the funeral home is where the place you do not want to go.
No, they
did you see my girl?
Door.
Like,
they
you don't
like,
go down
this
there.
This door, don't go that. And it said, like, prep room. I was like, oh, whoa. So we're actually underneath the prep room.
Wow.
But it's like a beautiful, you know, kind of old house.
Well, they're old built. They're great buildings. Oh, that's really cool stuff.
So if you're like, if you want to do something real weird,
right,
maybe that's a good one.
And all I was going to say was go to spin and play ping pong. That was what I was going to say. But I think the funeral home idea is way, way better. Hey, Amy, good. Thanks for stopping by for the last half hour.
Gladly.
Do you have anything fun coming up tonight on your show? I'm sure you do.
Tonight, we're kind of doing the, going off the idea of New Year's resolutions. So we're doing like mind, body, wellness stuff. We're talking to a body positive yoga teacher. We're talking with someone who does a lot of like life coaching and fear experiment stuff.
And when you say body positive, you mean the idea that anyone should be proud of who they are and go for it.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
Like it's accessible to everyone.
Because there's a lot of people out there, myself included, trying to shed a few pounds. I'm embarrassed to do yoga. I'm afraid of doing it. I tried it once on a cruise ship and I was terrible. And it's because there's mirrors in service. So it'd be nice to have someone that's going to help
There's no mirrors at my yoga place. Come to yoga with me.
Anytime. Amy, thanks so much. And that's on at 7 o'clock, right?
7 o'clock.
All right. Enjoy that. All right. This is Chicago. Oh, the beat's coming up next. And thank you, Camille. Very wonderful job.
Thank you.
Dane will be back next week.